Recording. So last time we were talking about David's ethical will to Shlomo. When we had finished Sefer Shmuel, we had gotten into the continuation where he's in Divrei Yamim, where he's planning on building Beit Hamikdash, and he tells Shlomo, "Look, you're going to be the next king. You have to keep the Torah, chazak v'emet, be strong dealing with other people, and build the Beit Hamikdash." That's the ethical will. That's what he tells Shlomo in Divrei Yamim. There's a different ethical will in Sefer Melachim. This is the Haftorah for Parashat Vayechi, and we all know this. We started this before, and this is in Source 21 now. Vayikru Yimei David Lamut. When David was close to death. Vayitzav Shlomo b'no lemor, commands Shlomo, he says, Anochi holech b'derech kol haaretz. I'm going the way of all flesh. You need to be strong. And you need to keep all the commandments of God. And do all the commandments. As it's written in the Torah, you need to keep the Torah. That's all good. So that you may be successful with everything you do. And any place where you will face, you'll be successful if you keep the Torah. So that Hashem will keep his word, Asher Dibar Alai, that Hashem said about me. To say, if your descendants keep my ways, to keep to make sure they go in the path of going before me, b'emet, in truth, b'chol v'avam, b'chol nafsham, all their heart and soul. And this is what God said, if you do this, lo yichrot lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael, you will never lose the throne of Israel. Your descendants will not be cast off of the throne. That's part one. Part two. Begama tayadata. You know, et asher asali Yoav ben Tsruya. You know what Yoav, the son of Tsruya, did. Asher asali shnei sared tzvaot Yisrael. What he did to the two generals of Israel, Lavner ben Ner, Lamasa ben Yeter. And he killed the Vesim Dimei Milchama B'Shalom. And he paid back peace with the blood of war. And he put the blood of war on his belt and on his shoes. He's covered in blood. And you should do according to wisdom. And you should not let his gray hairs go down in peace to the grave. That's Yoav. Livnei Barzilai Giladi, and to the children of Barzilai of Gilad, Taseh Chesed, you should do kindness, but you b'ochle shulchanecha, and they should be guests at your table. Yichen karbua Eilai, because they came close to me, they b'varchim ifnei Avshalom achicha, because they supported me when I ran away from Avshalom, your brother. Number two of his people to deal with. Number three, Pinei Imcha Shimi Ben Gera. Shimi Ben Gera is here, there with you. Ben Hemini is from Binyamin, Bibachurim, from the city of Bachurim. Ukulani Klalanim Retan. He cursed me a terrible curse. Yom Lechti Machanaim, when the day that I went to when I ran away to Machanaim in the rebellion of Absalom. Uyaradli Krati Hayarden, but he came down to me to the Jordan, Shivalo, Bashem, and I swore to God. More saying, Imam Etcha Bachar, they would not kill him with a sword. But you now don't consider him innocent. You're a smart guy. And you should figure out what you should do with him. And you should bring his gray haired head down in blood to the grave. So he's got three messages: keep the Torah, be strong, and then kill my enemies. Which is much more petty than the Yadinim Chavetz Tzedek, the Build the Beit Midash. So what's he trying to say here? What is all this about? So we have to go through all these people. I'm sure everyone remembers all the names that we've talked about here. We have Yoav ben Tsruya, who he's supposed to not allow to die in peace. And Yoav was David's nephew and his general and his chief enforcer. And he killed two people that we're going to list here. That is Shnei Saretz about Yisrael, Avner ben Ner, and Amasa ben Yeter. Avner was Shaul's and then Ishbosheth's general, and he was Shaul's brother, Shaul's uncle, rather. All these things were all in the family. And Avner had killed Asahel, Ben Shuri, Yoav's brother, during the civil war between Ishbosheth and David. When David was king in Hebron, Ishbosheth was a king on in the rest of Israel, in Machanaim, ongoing civil war. Asahel was chasing after Avner. Avner kills Asahel. Yoav swears revenge. But later, Avner tries to reunite the country, offers peace with David, and Yoav doesn't trust him. So this is what happened. But Yitzei Yoav Me'im David. When Yoav finds out that Avner, who again is the enemy general, had proposed peace with David, Yoav left. Vayishlach Malachim Machrei Avner. He sends messengers to Avner. Vayeshuvo Tomi Bor Asara, to bring him back after he had left from Bor Asara, where he was. But David lo yada. David had no idea what was going on. Vayeshev Avner Chevron. So Avner comes back to Chevron, David's capital. Vayitei Yoav El Toch Hashar, and Yoav tricks him to going into the gate. Vidaberi to Vasheli, to speak with him. Vasheli merely means misleadingly. So Avner is going to speak to, Yoav is going to speak to Avner in peace, but then stabs him. Stabs him in the fifth rib, through the liver, and then kills him because of his revenge for Asael. So that was paying back Dam Milchama B'Shalom. Avner is trying to make Shalom, and Yoav has killed him. Amasa ben Yeter was similar. Amasa was David's nephew and Avshalom's general. So this Amasa is the son of David's other sister. So it's a cousin to Yoav. So Amasa was on Avshalom's side during Avshalom's rebellion. In the final battle of that rebellion, Yoav kills Avshalom against David's order. David wanted Avshalom to remain alive. Yoav kills him anyway. So David fires at Yoav. And he's trying to reunite the country, appoints Amasa in his place. So Amasa had been Absalom's general. David appoints Amasa as his own general. So Amasa is leading the army during the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri, which happened right afterwards. So Yoav, who right now is technically unemployed, but the army is still loyal to him. Yoav approaches Amasa, Hashalom Atachi, and asks him, how are things going, my brother? It's his cousin. But Tachaz Yad Yamin Yoav's, and Yoav grabs with his right hand, Zaken Amasa, grabs the Amasa's beard, Lenashek Bo, and goes to kiss him. Amasa lo nishmar b'cheret, asher b'yad Yoav. And Amasa, trusting Yoav, didn't pay attention to the sword that was in Yoav's left hand. Ekeo ba'al chomash, and he strikes him again under the fifth rib, kills him. Vishbroch ma'av artsan, his guts all spill out. He didn't take a second blow and he dies. Yoav Abishai Achav, so Yoav and Abishai, his brother, Radaf Achrei Sheva Bichri, they continue on to this, and Amasa is left to die on the side of the road. Same thing. Amasa is trying to make peace between the two halves of the country after the civil war. Yoav has killed him. And as I said many times before, that Yoav was fiercely loyal to David, or at least to his idea of what King David was supposed to be. But he would do whatever he thought was necessary to preserve the kingdom, preserve David's reign, even if he thought David was doing the wrong thing. If David was making peace, he said, no, you can't do that. We got to keep fighting. And Yoav never met a problem that he couldn't be solved with a sharp, that couldn't be solved with a sharp blade under the fifth rib. He liked killing people. And that's kind of been the theme throughout there. David doesn't get rid of Yoav until the very end, doesn't even try. And this is his words in the beginning. Anochi hayom, this is David saying, Ani aichem rach u'mashuch melech, I am still young at the beginning of his reign, u'mashuch melech, and I am anointed as king. Anashima Ela, b'nei Tzuria, and children of Tzuria, Yoav, and Avishai, his brother, are karshimi meni, they're tougher than I am. And therefore, Yishalem Hashem, laso hara'ah kira'ato, and may God pay them back, because I can't do that. I need them too much. I can't get rid of Yoav. And that's what the Gemara says. This is actually the Tanchuma, Amar Rav Elazar ben Padat, Ilema sitno shel Yoav. If it wasn't for Yoav enforcing the laws, Leah David Yachol Asodat Hadin, then David could not have established his mishpat. So Yoav's an interesting character. But at the end of his life, David says, "Don't to Shlomo, Yoav, don't let him die in peace." Lo tered sevato b'shalom sha'ol. So was that actually a commandment to Shlomo they should kill Yoav? So Barbanel says it was not. It was a prediction. David is saying, you know, it was wrong for me to tolerate Yoav's violence. And in fact, David actually took advantage of it. Yoav was the one who had Uriah killed when David needed Uriah out of the way. So he's saying here, this is wrong. So Asita Kachmatecha, and when he's telling Shlomo, you need to do use your wisdom, do what's right in your eyes, is you need to be aware that Yoav's going to be a problem, and you need to deal with it directly. So then the Abarbanel looks at this. V'charech ha-sipir David kol ha-maseh hazeh she'asah Yoav negdo. After David tells Shlomo, this is what the things that Yoav had done. Amar lo Shlomo, but now he says to Shlomo, v'asita k'chokhmatecha. You should act with your wisdom. V'so lomar, al t'naheg ba'atzuto. Meaning, use your wisdom. Don't take his advice. Yoav will always go for the most violent solution. That's not a good idea. Don't think he's some kind of secret genius. He was the head of the army, so you know, so he knows how to do battles. You're a young guy, you're a young kid. And don't think that you're going to be right if you follow Yoav. Be careful there. Don't do that. You need to be strong. You need to do things according to your wisdom. Right? You're the one who's the chacham, you're Shlomo, you're the one of peace. You need to act in that way, not according to what Yoav is going to do. In order to be careful of him, beware of him. Yes, I'm going to give you some advice. May God be with you. Realize that he is not going to be a man of peace with you. Even if he gets older, he's got even point where he's got gray hair, he's an old man. Don't follow his ways. Don't live in peace with him. Send him away. Don't trust Yoav. Be there and he won't rule over you the way he effectively ruled over me. I took his advice too many times and my life was too violent. Said about the Damra of Shabachta. David commanded Shlomo to kill him if he won't act in peace. It's not advice that you will have to, but be aware that it may come to that. And this is not to punish Yoav. Shlomo's got to be careful. The bottom line is that preserving the unity of the country outweighs these transient political concerns. Yes, Yoav is important for the country, but he keeps destroying their chance of peace. Every time there's a civil war, Yoav wants to wipe out the enemy as opposed to try to reconcile. That's bad.
But David says plainly that David says to him, don't let him go die peacefully.
Right. So our Barbanel is saying that doesn't mean kill him.
What does it mean?
It means that be prepared to kill him if you need to.
Okay.
That's what he's saying. Be careful of him. It's gonna end up in a bad place. Which in fact it will end up in a bad place because Yoav actually supports Adoniyahu as being the strong, powerful king as opposed to the peace-loving 12-year-old Shlomo. And so Shlomo will have Yoav killed, but that's later. The next one he talks about was Barzillai Giladi, Barzillai from the Gilad. And he was one of those who supported David during Avshalom's rebellion. David runs away to the Gilad, to the east side of the Jordan. Barzillai provided for David and his men, and David tried to reward him. And this is in Perek Yutet. Barzillai Zaken Mo'od. ben shmonim shana. Barzillai was very old. He was 80 years old. And he provided for David when he was staying in Machanayim, which again was the capital of Gilad, the east side of the Jordan. Ish gadol hu ma'od, because he was a really great guy. In this sense, very rich. So afterwards, after the war, Avshalom's dead. David's going back to Jerusalem. David tells Barzillai, "Ata avar iti, you went over with me." You should come with me. Let's cross the Jordan and come with me to Yerushalayim, and I'll provide for you with in Yerushalayim. You'll be a member of my household. So Barzillai says back to the king, how many years do I have left? I should go back with you to Yerushalayim. I don't need to go to the big city. I'm happy here. Ben shmonim shana nocheyam. I'm 80 years old. Eda ben tov l'ra. I can't appreciate good or bad. Im yatem avdecha adasher ochol. I can't taste anything anymore. Adasher eshte. I can't taste what I'm drinking. I'm not going to enjoy these fancy meals you guys have in Yerushalayim. Im eshma od b'kol sharim b'sharot. I'm not going to enjoy music. You have all these singers there. It's too much for me. I'm going to stay here. I don't want to be a burden to you, the king. I'll go across the Jordan with you. And that's it. Don't do all these things for me. Let me go back. Let me die in my own home. I'll be buried in the grave of my parents, Be Abdacha Kimham, but your servant, Kimham, my son, Kimham, Yavor, let him go with you, me, Maria Melech, Vasel Lo Adesha Tobedech, and you should be good to him. Aram Melech, Iti Yavor Kimham, so the king said, fine, Kimham will come with me, and Yasel Lo Adesha Tobedech, I will do what is good for you, what you're proposing, what is good in your eyes, Vasel Chevchar Allah, Yasel Lach, whatever. I choose whatever would be good for me, I will do for him. I'm going to support Kimham, the son of Barzillai Giladi. So everyone crosses the Jordan, they go back to Yerushalayim. The king kisses Barzillai, blesses him, and Barzillai goes back home. So now Shlomo is David is telling Shlomo, Livnei Barzillai Giladi, the children of Barzillai, that's his Kimham and his brothers, you have to be good to them. Support them. And that's important because the Gilad was the part of the country that was most isolated from Yehuda. It was the furthest away from Yerushalayim. Again, Machanayim, where Barzillai is from, was the capital of Ishbosheth's kingdom when it split from Yehuda. This is back talking about Abner, when Abner supports Ishbosheth. Abner ben Ner starts by Sher LeShaul, and this is right after Shaul's death. Akachat Ishbosheth, he takes Ishbosheth, then Shaul by Avrei Machanayim, brings it to Machanayim, by Mlecheo Ela Gilad, and he establishes him as king over Gilad. Gilad is the center for Shaul's family's rule. And then it spread to the Ashur, Ben Yisrael, Ephraim, Ben Yamin, Ben Kol Yisrael, Kula, spread from there. So publicly demonstrating that the children of the Ishi Gadol, the elite of Gilad, publicly supporting him in Yerushalayim shows that David is supporting the unity of the country. It's more important than, as I said, transient political concerns. So supporting the children of Barzillai is the same as kicking out Yoav. He's got to pull the country together. If he doesn't, it's going to fall apart. That's called foreshadowing. It's the beginning of Sefer Melachim. So what's the story of the Shimi ben Gera? David tells Shlomo, you need to make sure that Shimi ben Gera goes down to the grave in blood. Who is Shimi ben Gera? He was a cousin of Shaul. And again, this is a story in this later half of David's life in the rebellion of Avshalom. Uba Melech David Abachurim. David came to the city of Bachurim, which is sitting in Binyamin, on the way to running away across the Yarden into Machanaim, into the Gilad.
So that was David from Absalom he was running?
I'm sorry?
He was running from Absalom?
When he's running from Absalom, right. This is when he's running from Absalom. This is in Perek Tetzayim. So he's running to Bachurim. B'nei Misham Ish Yotzei. And there a person came out, Mishpachet Beit Shaul, from the family of Shaul. Rishmo Shimi Ben Gera, that's his name. Shimi Ben Gera, Yatso Mekalel. He kept coming out and cursing them. As David is walking on foot away from Yerushalayim, Shimi Ben Gera is standing on top of the hill and cursing. Vayeskoba Avanim at David and throwing rocks on David. They call Avdei HaMelech David and all David's servants. He's throwing rocks at them. And all of the people, all of David's men, on the right and the left, Shimon Begera was yelling at them and throwing rocks. This is what Shimi said in his cursing. Say it, say, Isha Damin. Come on out, you man of blood, Isha Bilal, you wanton sinner, describing David. Right, this is where he's called an Isha Damin. And we connected that to the death of Shaul's family at the hands of Givonim. And God is now paying you back for all the blood of the house of Shaul. Hashem Malacha Tachta, that you're reigning in his stead. My family was wiped out. God's paying you back. And now God giving the kingship to Avshalom, your son. And you are now wallowing in your own evil, because you are a man of blood. That's Shimi Ben Gera yelling at David. Abishai, Yoav's brother, who's running away with him, tells the king, why should this dead dog be cursing you? Ebra, now let me go over there. Let me take his head off. Okay, we can solve. It's easy to solve problems with a sharp enough sword. So the king said to them, What am I going to do with you, your children of Suri, you Yoav and Abishai? Kikoi Kalel, let him curse. Kikoi Hashem Amar Lo, Kalel, because God has told them to curse. This is all from God's hands. Kalel David, Mi Amar Madua Sita Ka, who can say why he's doing this? I deserve it. Yomer David al Abishai, Makol Abadav. And so David says, Abishai and all of his people, as Shimi Begera is cursing him, Ne Bani Asher Yetsemi Mimi, look, my son, who are my loins? Vakesha Nafshi is trying to kill me. Afki ata bidimini. So now I've got this Benjaminite yelling at me. Hinacholo bikalel. Let him go ahead and curse. Let him be. Kiamarlo Hashem. This is all from God. Ulay yir Hashem ba'ani. Maybe Hashem will see this as my punishment. He'll see my suffering. Beshiv li tova tachiklato. And I'll be paid back some good out of his cursing. I will suffer for this and God, and I'll pay my dues. Klotoyo was his curse today. And David kept walking on. And Shimi halach b'tzel ha'har. And so Shimi he's going on along the side of the mountain, Lamato, opposite them. Aloch b'kalel v'sakel b'vanim, still cursing him, still throwing rocks at him. L'amato to throwing rocks against him, v'afer b'efer, and throwing dirt on him the whole way. Then David eventually crosses the Yarden. Shimi stays back in Binyamin. And then when David comes back, after having won the war, Shimi tries to make amends. He apologizes. So that was Perek Tet Zion. Now we're in Perek Yud Tet, after the Civil War. Avshalom is dead. David's coming back. By Meher Shimi Ben Gera, Ben Emini. So Shimi hurries Asher Bacharim, this guy from Bacharim. And he went with all the people of Yehuda to greet David as he's coming back. And he brought 1,000 men from Binyamin, Tziva Nar Beit Shaul, along with Tziva, who's the servant of the house of Shaul, Chamesha Sabanav, Esrim Abadav Yito, and all of his men, and they prepared the Jordan River before the king. They got it ready so he could come across. And the procession came to try to bring the king back across the Yarden, and to do good in his eyes. And everybody wanted to show how much they loved David the whole time. Shimon ben Gera falls in front of the king. He tells the king, do not think me a sinner. Do not hold me accountable. And don't remember that warp thing that I did, when the king left Yerushalayim. Don't think about it. Don't pay attention to that. Because I know full well that I sinned. I was wrong. I am the first of all of Yosef, meaning the Israel, the northern part of the kingdom. I'm the first one to come down to greet you. Please don't kill me. Avishai ben Shuria. So Avishai then says again, shouldn't Shimi die for all of this? He killed Mashiach Hashem. He cursed the anointed of God. David. David says, Mali b'lachem ben Shuria. So what am I going to do with you, children of Shuria? Kiyutuli hayom usatam. So you now, I'm going to basically be the accused. You're going to make my life difficult here. I'm trying to make peace here. Don't keep killing everybody. Hayom yamur ish b'Yisrael. Should anyone from Yisrael die today? Ki halo yadati ki hayom ani melech Yisrael. Today I am king over Yisrael. Not just Yehuda, not just my family, all of Yisrael. Hayom ha melech shimi elotim usash. The king tells Shimi, you will not die. By Shabbat Allah Melch, and the king swore to him, he will not kill him. So that sounds wonderful. And in fact, Shimi remains loyal to David to Shlomo. In the beginning of Malachim, when there's the whole contest between Adoniah and Shlomo about who's going to be the king after David dies, he's got a long list of the people who went with Adoniah, including Yoav and Eviatar, but in that confrontation, Shimi remains loyal to Shlomo and remains loyal to David's plan to designate Shlomo as the heir. This is the beginning of Malachim now, the point where David is old. Betzadok haKohen, uBenayahu ben Yoyada, uNatan haNavi, b'Shimi. He's still here. B'Rei. Bagiburim Hashal David and David's other men, Lo Hayom Adoniyahu, they didn't go with Adoniyahu, they remained with Shlomo. So here, David is saying something very strange. Right? On his deathbed, he tells him, Hinei Imcha Shimi Ben Gera, acknowledging that Shimi is with you. But, Bata Al Tinikeyu, don't consider him innocent, Ki Ish Chacham Ata, you're a smart man. You'll figure out what to do with him. Bring him. You will kill him. You will bring his head down in blood to the grave. What's this all about? Okay. And that what he's saying here about Al Tinike was stronger than what he said about Yoav. Right? When he said that Yoav was lo tere sevato b'shalom sha'ol. That's not a commandment. It's a statement of a prediction. You will not end up allowing him to die in peace. Here's him explicitly, Harata, you will kill him. You will bring his head down in blood. And that's the way Rashi looks at it. Ish chachamata, you're a smart man. I swore I wouldn't kill him. So ten libcha, you should think limtzolo avon mavet. You should find some way of tricking him, of finding some sin that's worth killing him. Bishvil davar achyar, something else. I swore not to kill him, so you got to find some ruse to get him, make sure he dies. That's what it means, v'yadata sher tasebo. You will figure out what to do. And that's exactly what Shlomo does. After David has died, Shlomo is the king. Then we have the story about what happens to Shimi ben Gera. V'yishlach ha-melech. Melech now is Shlomo. V'yikra l'Shimi. And he calls Shimi. V'yomer lo. And king tells him, v'nei lecha bayit b'Yisrael, b'Yerushalayim. I want you to build a house here in Yerushalayim, Yeshavta Shem, and I want you to live here. I want you going back to Bachurim and Binyamin. But they say, Misham, Anava, Anna, I don't want you wandering here and there. Vaya biyom tzidcha, Because the day that you leave, Avarta Nachal Kidron, you so much as cross the Kidron Valley, which is right outside Yerushalayim, right between Har Abayit and Har Zeitun. Tidak Himot Tamud, you're going to die. I will not kill you as long as you remain in Yerushalayim. Damcha Yevrashecha, but if you leave, your blood is on your own hands, your own head. So Shimi tells Shlomo, Tova Devarash Kasher Diber Ni Amelach. That's fine. Ken Yaseh Avadecha, I will do that. Yeshiv Shimi Yerushalayim Yamim Rabim, and Shimi stayed in Yerushalayim for many years. How long? Next pasuk. Vayimik Hetzlos Shanim. 3 years later. Vayvachushne Avadim L'Shimi, and then two of Shimi's slaves ran away. El Achish Ben Macha Melech Gad runs to Plishtim. And he gets the report that his slaves have been found in Gat, which is outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's part of Plishti territory. What's he going to do? They tell him, look, they're here. We have no moral problem with slavery. That won't happen. You know, we're happy to give him. Just come down here, fill out a police report, we'll return your slaves to you. So, Shimi goes, he saddles up his donkey, then he goes to Gat. And he gets his requests his slaves back. Then Shimi comes back with his slaves from God. And that's Shlomo's opportunity. Right? He's looking for some ruse to kill Shimi, takes it. But you got the Shlomo, and Shlomo was told what happened. Shimi Mushlaim got Yashab, that Shimi had gone to God to come back. So the king sends for Shimi. Says to him, I made you swear, I abjured you by God, and I testified to you more, saying, as soon as you leave, when you go anywhere, you know you're going to die. But you told me, and you told me, I that's fine, I hear everything, I will listen. Why didn't you keep this oath to God? My commandment to you. So the king tells Shimi, you know all the evil that's in your heart. That everything you did to David, my father, all that cursing, now it's come back to you. This is Shlomo talking about himself in third person. Shlomo the king will be blessed, and the throne of David will be established before God forever. So the king commands Benayahu, who is one of his his army who is loyal to him, and he goes out and kills Shimi. And now the kingdom was secure in the hands of Shlomo. And all the Mefarshim take this very positively. That's a wonderful thing that Shlomo did by having Shimi ben Gera killed. Right? This is the Malbim, Rashi says the same thing. Amel Shlomo Baruch, lo yechashev lo lochet, that this will not be considered a sin to Shlomo. Shimi ben Gera did Shuva, David swore to him he wouldn't kill him. David tells him, you need to find some ruse for actually making sure he's dead. Shlomo does this. This is not a chet. That he caused Shlomo, Shimi to stumble. He made Hashem. From God, because of your sin, Shimi. And it's to the point where he's claiming, he said David yenachor olam. This will establish the throne of David forever. Achar Hashem riv. Because Hashem has taken revenge, has fought David's fight, has avenged the insult. But Chazal here had a different perspective about what happens here, what David's commanded Shlomo, what Shlomo does. Because they know that pasuk is the end of Perek Bet. Right after that, beginning of Perek Yom Malachim, right after it says Hamachan Nechonah Biyad Shlomo, that Shlomo's rule was secure, we have the hint at the beginning and the end. Next pasuk, Beit Chaten Shlomo at Paro Melch Mitzrayim, that Shlomo intermarries with Paro, the king of Egypt. Ekachet bat Paro, and he marries the daughter of Paro. Evel ir David ad kalatol of note beto, and he brings it there until he finishes his palace, but Beit Hashem and the Beit Hashem, the Chamor Yerushalayim Soviet, and the walls of Jerusalem. Right? As soon as Shoshim is dead, he marries bat Paro. And if Rashi brings up there, Beit Chaten Shlomo, Chozuman Shay Shimi Rabo Kayam. As long as Shimi, who is called his Rab, his teacher, was alive, Lunit Chaten Bo, he didn't marry bat Paro. Didn't intermarry. Mikan Amru, Lalom Yadur Adamba Makam Rabo. Now, as you should know, you should always live in the place of your Rebbe, of your Rav, because you always need that advice. And that's from the Gemara. Amr Rechia Bar Ami Mishmei De'ula. La'olam Yidur Adamba Makam Rabo. One should always live a place nearby where one's Rav is accessible. I think with Zoom, and it makes it a little bit easier now. We'll probably move a little bit. But an example is Shekozman Shimi ben Gera Kayam. As long as Shimi ben Gera was alive, Lo Nasa Shlomo Bat Paro. And the Midrash on this actually goes further. That marrying Bat Paro was the beginning of the end. It's a great image in the Midrash. It's Yalkut Shemoni. Shlomo marries the daughter of Paro. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, La'olam yedor adam b'makam rabo. One should always stay close to one's Rav. Shekol yamim shayah Shimi ben Gera kayam. As long as Shimi ben Gera, who somehow has this role of not just of the one who cursed David and did tshuva, but of the Rav, the teacher of Shlomo, was as long as he was alive, lo nasa Shlomo bat Paro. That Shlomo didn't marry the bat Paro. And the moment that Shlomo married the daughter of Paro, Yarad Gavriel, the angel, the manifestation of God's intervention in history, came down. Benatz kana bayam, and stuck a reed into the sea. Vala ayama sartun, and a sandbar started to form. One grain of sand stuck to it. Another grain of sand, stuck to this reed that was stuck in the ocean. Uvishash asa Yeravam ben Nevat shtei agalim shel zahav. And then, 40 years later, when Yeravam rebels, splits the kingdom, and it builds a golden calf in Dan and in Beit El, and the kingdom is irrevocably split in half. At that moment, Nivne Alehem, on that sandbar that it was planted back when Shlomo married Bat Paro, Nivne Alehem Krach HaGadol Sheberomi. Rome was founded on that sandbar, somewhere in the middle of the Mediterranean. I just like that image. That killing Shimi ben Gera led to the alliance of Paro, the influence of Bat Paro, Shlomo's fall, and then that. That was the first grain of sand. And then one more grain of sand would lead to the civil war under Yeravam, would lead to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash that Shlomo built. And even more than that, in the eyes of the Medrash, would lead to the rise of Rome and destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash afterwards as well. Okay, this is a bad thing. Don't kill Shimon ben Gera. And in fact, Chazal see him as an important person. He was a Talmud Chacham. Again, seeing him as the Rav of Shlomo in this Midrashim. This is Gittin, Rabba Braid, Rabba, Vitema, Rabbi Hillel, Braid, Rabbi Vilas, Mimot Moshe, Vad Rabbi. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Lomat Sinya Torah Gudula Makam Achad. We never had the greatest Talmud Chacham and the political leader in the same person. Moshe was that person, Rabbi Nasi was that person, but no one else. And then the Gemara goes through a list of other characters in history, including Vahave Shlomo. Wasn't Shlomo that way? He was Chacham, Mikol Adam, and he was the king. That's, you know, having both Torah and Gedulah in the same place. No, Vahave Shimon ben Gera. Shimon ben Gera was his, Rabbi was his Talmud Chacham. And more than that, Shimon ben Gera was the ancestor of Mordechai. Right when he said when we and Esther, right? Ish Yehudi Hayabashushai Vira, Purim's coming, right? means Pesach is only 2 months away. There's a Jewish man in Shushan, Ushmur Mordechai, his name was Mordechai ben Yair, that was his name, ben Shimi, a descendant of Shimi, ben Kish, who was a descendant of Kish, who is Shaul's father. So Shimi is the descendant of Shaul's father, so Shaul's cousin. Ishmini, a person of Binyamin. So he's got some yichus there. Gemara Megillah talks about the apparent contradiction between calling him an Ish Yehudi and an Ish Yemini. Like, was he from Yehuda? Was he from Binyamin? Karila Yehudi, Amalei Mehuda Kati. It sounds like from there he's from Yehuda. He's called about Mordechai. Karila Yemini, Amalei Binyamin Kati. Obviously, Mordechai was from Binyamin. Amar Rav Nachman, Mordechai Muchtar bin Musay Hava. Now, Mordechai had a nickname. He was called that because everyone from the country of Yehuda was called Yehudi, even though he really was from Binyamin. Not a complicated answer. Amar Rav Barachana, Amar Rav Yeshua bin Levi. Now, Aviv bin Binyamin v'imo bin Yehuda. It's a mixed marriage. He was from both Binyamin and from Yehuda. Rabbanan Amri said, that's not the way to look at it. This is more of a midrashic answer. He was called Yehudi. Rabbanan Amri, Mishpachot Matzika wrote to Bazu that each, the families of Yehuda and family of Binyamin were arguing, who is going to get to claim Mordechai? Mishpachot Yehuda Omer, the tribe of Yehuda said, Ana Garmi de Mithlein Mordechai. It's because of us that Mordechai was born. Lo Katle David le Shimon ben Gera. David didn't kill Shimon ben Gera. That's why Mordechai was born. If David had killed Shimon ben Gera way back when during the rebellion of Absalom, then we would never have had a Mordechai. We would never had a Purim. Mishpach Binyamin Amra. No, Binyamin says no. Minai Kati. No, he's from Binyamin. We got to call him a Binyamini. So good things happen when we leave Shimi alive. Bad things happen when we kill him. And so when Chazal say he was a Rav of Shlomo. Rabbo Shel Shlomo. What does that mean? What did he teach Shlomo? It's not explicit. I think the answer is clearly, you know, that David had been told that you're going to have a son. He Shlomo Yeshmo. You're going to have a son who you're going to name Shlomo because Shalom Shekhet et Ten al Yisrael B'Yamav. And he will be the leader of Shalom and of peace and quiet in Israel in his days. And that's a prophecy. It's not a prediction. It's not a promise. You have to make it happen. Not guaranteed to come true. So how do you teach the value of Shalom? And it sounds to me that that's exactly how. You bring the cousin of the man who tried to kill you, Shaul's cousin. This man who cursed you on the way and stoned at you when you had your lowest point. And then you went and begged for forgiveness. And you swore not to harm. Bring that person to live with you, to be in your, just be in your Shalom as Shlomo is growing up. That's the greatest example of Shalom. So the fact that David has Shimi Begera there with Shlomo is exactly that, is teaching the value of Shalom. That's what Shlomo has to learn. So then what happens here? On his deathbed, David says, you gotta make sure you kill Shimi. Gives a whole lecture about the evils of Yasim Dimei Milchama B'Shalom. Yoav did exactly that. Someone tries to make peace. Yoav kills him. This is terrible. You can't let it happen. David is asking Shlomo to do exactly that. So Rav Dessler on this says, David, he had to do it. He could be Mevater on his own honor. He could say, okay, God made this happen. I'm not going to get revenge. And the Yashimi's curse is really the will of Hashem. But that's at a higher spiritual level, but running government requires respect for the government. Shlomo needs to establish that. And if Shlomo was to be a king, he could not let the lese majeste, I love that phrase, the insult to the dignity of the ruler. You can't let that pass. It would be bad for the future respect for the government. That's Michta Mayahu explaining this. The truth is that at the spiritual level of David was, you see this is all God's will. I'm not going to punish Shimi because David's saying, I am being punished for everything that I did with Bathsheba and everything else. But That's this lower level when I'm got to deal with natural cause and effect. That cursing the king is makes it impossible for the Shekhinah to dwell. You're losing respect for the ruler. When I got Hamalchut and normal politics, and that running the kingdom has to be in a natural way. You can't rely on miracles. You can't be all spiritually perfect. That's the way it is. Dagazu, at this level, he couldn't leave someone who rebelled against the king, leave him unpunished. That's why David commanded before his death, Shemut Shimi ben Ger, Shimi should die. Gila Sirata has there to remove this contradiction to this impediment on his scale L to the, that was we just mentioned. To restore the honor of the kingdom, and to restore it in the eyes of those who are looking at the world through natural eyes. Couldn't do it, which may be true. So I understand why he's saying that, but still, why mention it here? It's got to be more than that. But think about it. David probably told Shlomo a lot of different things. They had lots of conversations, and that the author of Sefer Melachim, Yirmiyahu, had to select what went into the book. And we have these three little pieces of advice. Don't let Yoav influence you. Reward Barzillai Giladi. That's good. And then we have this. Take care of Shimi ben Gera. And I think that's to include, highlight the sort of blind spot that David had with respect to the family of Shaul. Where, I mean, David's trying to pull this together, but he just can't allow the family of Shaul to have their place in that. We saw something similar when he dealt with Mephibosheth, who's Shaul's grandson. And that when Mephibosheth comes back to him after Absalom's rebellion and David accuses him of being disloyal, Mephibosheth says, no, I was loyal to you the whole time and I was framed by Tzibia, my servant. And then David says, I can't decide. You'll split the estate. Shaul's estate, half to Mephibosheth, half to Tzibia, the servant. And Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Shash Amar David Mephibosheth. So again, this is Shaul's grandson. You and Siva split the estate. I don't know who to believe. I don't trust you, Mephibosheth. We split it half 50-50. Yetzav bat kova amra lo. A voice came out and said, Rechavam v'yirabam yechakutam adam l'cha. That the kingdom will split between Rechavam, David, your grandson, and Yerabam, who's going to take away the northern 10 tribes. If David had not accepted the Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth, the kingdom would never have split. But of the Israel, Avodah Zarah, Israel would never have been drawn to Avodah Zarah, as we saw Yerubam's golden calves. We would never have been into exile. So David has made this mistake before of having his sense of what the honor of the kingdom needs outweigh the need for pulling everyone together, especially when it comes to the family show. And so including this advice is foreshadowing. Sefer Melachim is about how Israel split into two halves. And the two halves that couldn't survive without one another. And David's giving all this advice, Yadinam Chavit Tzedek, you need to treat everyone with justice. We see the hints of it are still here. And so David's command about Shimi foreshadowed what was going to come in the rest of Sefer Melachim.
Danny, Mephibosheth, is he a Yonatan son?
Right.
That makes me feel mad that he didn't trust, he didn't give some clue to Yonatan's son since he promised him.
Right, so Mephibosheth survives because of he swore to Yonatan that he would not hurt any of his descendants. But with this incident in the end of Perakhav, in the end of Shmuel Bet Perakhav, that's the end of Yotam, rather, when they have, when in the aftermath of the civil war with Absalom, David basically says, I don't trust you, Mephibosheth. I'm not going to kill you, but I'm taking away half of your estate. He does that. And we're saying that's what led to the final, you know, to this. That's one of the things that foreshadowed the split that was to come.
So you could also blame that on Shaul too.
You can blame a lot of things on Shaul, but Shaul is dead here. This is all David here. And Ruthie asks that, is David blamed by Chazal so he told someone to kill him? Not explicitly, right? This is all, it's not even, the wording never is blaming Shlomo. It's just a fact. As soon as Shimon ben Gera dies, Shlomo has started to go off the derech. I mean, it sounds like they're blaming Shlomo there. You know, it's certainly, it doesn't look good for David here. Even the Mepharshim are saying, yes, it was the right thing to do, and it was necessary, Mor Malchus, Chayav Mita, we know that, but still, we still have this hint that it's going to lead to the fact that the country will fall apart. Those kinds of decisions. But I'm going to stop here, and we will...
It's hard to know what would have been the right thing, though.
You never know what would have been right.
And he didn't have to listen to everything his father told him, did he? I mean, he could have made some of his own decisions.
Yes. I mean, right. He definitely could have. He could have forgiven Shimi. He just kept Shimi close by. And we know the line from the Godfather about keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, so Shimi left, but he came back.
And he was his rav. It sounded like he was a teacher. He wasn't being bad right to him, was he?
Right. No, we don't see that at all, which is what's striking about all of this.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
So, well, that's, I mean, that it's giving these hints that they have, that there are these flaws that are there, and that's part of what we're supposed to learn from.
And even though he's considered to be such a chacham, he also wasn't perfect.
Right? We said, you know,
his horses.
He has all these foreign wives. Right? We know that's going to happen.
But even before that, you see, like, he's having issues.
But the whole Book of Kings is one big disaster, if you ask me.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I think this is here now. This is the beginning of Sefer Melachim. This is foreshadowing, right? We have David giving this advice. And lots of good advice in there. There's still that one thing that's going to turn out to be very wrong. So the bottom line is peace is good. So yeah, your worst enemy asks forgiveness. Go ahead and forgive them. Things can get better. No, it's easy for me to say because I'm not the king of anything.
Mm-mm. I wonder, that's our big prayer to Hashem, you know, say Shalom and Marlav.
Yep.
Not so easy.